5 pounds. He's reached 5 pounds, so his feeding tube has come out, so he's doing very well. So continued prayers for him.
Hi, I wanted to share our joys. Want to thank everybody for your prayers already. And as Gina announced, the prayer vigil on Thursday, we feel so blessed to be a part of this church and all the prayers. The power of prayers seems to be working already. I got a text late yesterday afternoon from JoJo's birth father, and he's changed his mind again, and he will consent to a direct consent adoption at this point. So we're hoping that he'll go through with it on Thursday at court, and really appreciate all the prayers. Thank you very much.
Like continued prayers for Melinda Brelsford. She's starting to feel better, but Melinda, I don't see you in church, so I think we need continued prayers. Thank you.
He says he wants to wish his sons prayers for their birthday today. How old they turn? They're 36 today.
And I'm standing here by a couple who just celebrated their wedding anniversary, the Fishers. 16 years.
We prayed for my friend's mother, Marie, last week. She is back in the nursing home where she was with hospice care now. She's not expected to last more than a week. I am very grateful for hospice in general. I would like to just thank God for all hospice care. It just makes the biggest difference. And if anybody in this congregation is involved with hospice care, God bless you. You do a wonderful work. And I expect that she will have a loving and peaceful passing. I want to pray for the family. She's had a very hard life, and she's a dear, dear person.
The nurture team is kicking off Sunday school this morning, and I am so grateful for every single teacher that we have, for the students, you know, that we're teaching about God and you know, how a life with Jesus is really the best way to live. So I would ask for prayers for every one of our teachers and every one of our students, and just gratitude for how blessed we are.
It is a joy to be back here after about 5 weeks of not being here, so it's exciting to be here. I would like to ask for prayers for my grandfather, Bob Beck. He's 85 and facing some heart issues. I think it's manageable, but just prayers for him. And prayers for my friend, Rob, who's a husband of a friend of mine who's having some health issues.
I'd like to have prayers for the daughter of the counselor I work with. Her name is Nadia, N-A-D-I-A, and Julie adopted her from Russia when she was a year old and then went back to get her when she was a year and 2 months old. But Nadia's in second grade now, but she's having trouble in reading, and it's quite a concern for Julie. So just ask prayers that God would help Nadia to read. Thank you.
Good morning. I just want to say to God thank you for Maryam recovering, and she's in home now. She's doing well, but we still need your prayers. In the future, we don't want to see hospital again because it's really shock for the parents more than her because she's a little baby. She didn't feel with it, but it's a shock for us. So please pray.
While I'm here, happy birthday to Gina this week. I learned a lot of things from Facebook.
Brown and the other colleges just are starting back, and so I wanted to ask prayers for all the students who are coming back. Thanks for safe travels, and also prayers for a good semester.
I would like to ask for prayers for my mother, Angela. A few months ago, she lost her brother, my Uncle Paul, and she has not been taking it very well. In fact, every day I see her kind of deteriorate a little more. So I'm asking for prayers that she rallies up and starts to feel better. I'm also asking for prayers for a friend of mine's mother. Her mother's name is Louisa. She's been in and out of the hospital, and they can't really tell what's going on.
Good morning. I have a joy. Choir starts singing next Sunday. So today, please don't go anywhere. Dear choir members, come to the piano. We'll have a very, very short talk, and then you can go and socialize, and whoever is involved in a prayer walk, Alice will wait for you so we'll be able to eat and relax a little bit. The other is joint concern. If you look to the postlude, it's slightly unusual. Monica and Milton will be playing, and Monica will have doctor's appointment tomorrow. She might need another surgery, so she won't be able to play for a while. So enjoy while you can. Thank you.
Couple weeks. it's kind of a joy and not so much, but basically I got a job in Maryland, so I'll be leaving in about 2 months. For now, thanks.
We will miss you.
I just want to ask continual prayers for my brother Seth and my sister-in-law Juliana for losing their daughter. They're still worrying and sad, and they're getting a little paranoid if they don't hear from the other kids. So please, need your prayers for them.
I have a joy to share today. My dad is visiting from Sacramento, California. My dad.
From where? I was just there. My son lives there. I learned a lot of things from Facebook. and I just want to tell you that Megan and Nathan Backman have had a sewer backup in their basement, and no plumber available until Monday. And she's trying to she's trying to train the little girl. Doesn't work well. I'd like to have prayers for a family friend from my hometown who was a classmate of my twin sisters. Fanny Sue is having heart surgery on Thursday, where they're going to put in a new pig valve. And tomorrow, I am having a joint replacement on my finger that has been giving me great pain. So I've been looking forward to having this done so I'll get rid of the pain.
Before Steve brings prayers this morning, we would like to ask one more prayer concern for the Watermolder family. The baby that they are expecting has been diagnosed with a serious heart defect that is going to require several surgeries after birth. And we ask and they seek our prayers in this time for healing and strength as they walk this journey seemingly again, surrounded this time by a new congregation. But please keep them in prayer.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, we hear so many prayers for health and healing today. Melinda, for Martha Reed and the care that hospice workers provide here and in so many places. For Grandfather Bob and for Rob. For Nadia's learning issues. For Angela in her time of grief and for Louisa. For surgeries on our musicians, Monica and Judy. And Sid and Julie and the loss of their daughter. For Lori's grandfather, and for Cameron, and for this child's adoption going through legal wrangling, we pray for a just and loving outcome. We lift up Rolf's son's birthday and Judy's anniversary as times of celebration and joy. O God, this church here in Providence is the place where we make our home to show belief in you and mission to those around us. We kick off our church year, and so we ask your blessing on our teachers, on the students in our church school and in our fellowship programs, young and adult, and for the music program of this church, one that needs the talents and voices of all those willing to dedicate that time. We look out from this place here, Providence Presbyterian Church on Hope Street, with hope, but also with anxiety about a political nation that needs so much civility, decency, and maybe, if we're lucky, could you bring us a bit of substance? We pray for victims of floods and earthquakes, the people on the South Coast and the Gulf Coast have once again been besieged. And because the headlines move so fast, we forget that they were wading through water 10 days ago, and many are still mucking out their homes and trying to reset their lives. They need our support. They need, ironically, federal dollars, and in some cases, political figures in their states who don't like federal dollars except when their people need federal dollars to survive. Hypocrisy, I suppose, is always with us, O God. Help us to at least look at it, see it, and call it for what it is. We also pray here at the beginning of the school year, here in the many universities and colleges of Providence and Rhode Island and around the nation, the public schools, the independent schools. Education is what we so desperately need. So our hearts are with teachers, students, administrators who lead and keep these places of learning. There are many other prayers, O God, that go unmentioned now, and we only ask that our hearts would be reminded of those as we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward for a time up here. We're probably going to need to really stretch out. There we go. Come on down. Find a seat. Either on the pew or on the floor. Great to see so many of you up here. Great. This is a really, really exciting day today. Okay, you want to sit down? It's a really exciting day for us today here at this church because we're going to be starting our church school program. And some of you, if you look around the room, you may see someone that you don't really recognize very well today. Is that true? Is that true? Some new faces? And some of you may even be going down to your class to be in a new classroom even today. And I want to challenge you with the scripture that we're going to look at today that the adults and your parents and others who are here in the sanctuary are going to think about today. And that is Jesus' call to us to love one another. And sometimes we need to figure out and open our eyes. Can you guys all open your eyes as wide as you can today? Very wide. And look around us, all the way around us, at the people, the new people that are in our midst. And I want to challenge each of you this morning to say hello and welcome to this church to someone that you don't know. It can be someone that you say that to downstairs this morning as we go off to church school, or upstairs in the middle school class, or it can even be to someone new in the coffee hour that you see, because there's a lot of big kids here who are going off to school for the first time, and they might be even more scared than you are to be doing that. So why don't you welcome them to this church, because this is your church, and God helps us to love one another here and outside these walls. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you bring us together as your church and you send us out into the world to love our neighbor as ourself. Be with us, we pray, that we might do that, not just this morning, but all mornings and all days. In Jesus we pray. Amen. And so if you're in kindergarten and below, and through fifth grade, you can go downstairs to the church school classes there. Age three. To fifth grade. Sorry, that's why we have a nurture committee. And middle schoolers upstairs.
The Old Testament lesson for today is Psalm 125, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 540, the large print Bible on page 703, or on the screen. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time on and forever, evermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. The New Testament lesson is from the letter of James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. found on page 215 in the Pew Bible and 278 in large print and on the screen. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Prepare for the next phase of this transition time for the arrival of our interim co-pastor.
Reverend Glenn Ramsey from our congregation and I will be preaching from the lectionary passages of James to claim the challenges that James posed to the early church to be grounded in the core values and practices of the Christian life. Luther called James the straw epistle, particularly when he compared it to Paul's letters, which point to God's grace and not just how we respond. But Calvin said of James, faith alone saves. It is true, faith alone saves. But the faith that saves is not alone. We know that in this time of transition and uncertainty that you may have questions about this Presbyterian way of finding new pastors. And we invite you to take time to ask those questions, to share in writing and put it into the offering plate your questions and concerns about this interim time as we prayerfully discern where God is leading us next and as we continue to build on the grace of God's Spirit in working together for the kingdom here and beyond these walls. As we prepare to hear what God has to say to us in this text today, let us pray. God, grant us your grace, for it is by your grace alone that we live. Remind us, O God, that your word is what strengthens and binds us together and sends us forth to be your witnesses to the ends of the earth. Open our hearts that we might hear your word this day and that we might go forth to live it in all our lives. In Christ we pray. Amen. The lectionary psalm that we read this morning accompanies this passage of James, and it's a reminder to us of where we put our faith and trust. It reminds us in pointing to the certainty of God's promise and purpose and presence in the people's lives in the Old Testament that our faith and our trust, our promise, and our hope lies in Jesus Christ. It's a reminder to us that the God of the Hebrew people is the same God of all who surrounds the people, even in the midst of tumult and uncertainties that are inevitable with life itself. But it is not just a reminder of that faith. It is also a prayer to God to hear the prayers of those people and to warn against those who would turn aside and away from God's presence in their lives. It is indeed an interesting pairing with this passage in James on the gift and call to radical hospitality. One commentator has called James the Proverbs and Amos of the New Testament because of its to-the-point practical and pointed advice on how to walk the talk and its in-your-face rebuke of sin and hypocrisy. James, as you may have heard in this text, has no time for that. James has a way of getting directly to the point. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? It is so much easier and so much more comfortable for us to associate with those who are just like us, who look like us, who dress like us, who have had the same kind of educational opportunities as us, who are in the same social strata as us. But this isn't what James is talking about. James is often accused of making little mention of Christ, but here he links faith directly to how we live our lives and how we treat those who are different than we are. Indeed, he tells us to welcome them to our community. James says, do our acts of favoritism with whom we associate or not really reflect the faith that we have in Jesus Christ? Yesterday at our Presbytery meeting, the gathering of churches in Connecticut, Rhode Island, and parts of Massachusetts, our morning focus was devoted to thinking about the ways in which we are missional, seeking to live Christ's love out into the world. For the movement of God's love is ever outward, but it takes root and takes its power from the communities and the wrestlings that we experience in community together. As we challenge and intentionally put ourselves with one another in community to learn about the other, to learn about ourselves as we encounter people different from ourselves, it is indeed a most fitting text to put at the start of this church school season, to welcome and to grow together in Christ. Pay attention. Both the Psalm and James tells us, stay rooted in God. Remember that we are grounded in God. What can we learn then when we seek the Christ in the other, to seek and see what God sees in this one who seemingly has less, the poor in our eyes? James asks, has not God chosen the poor to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? In the ways God promises God's people, we too are to welcome the stranger and to show no partiality. This is, my friends, the gift of radical hospitality. It's a gift to us, and we are blessed when we experience it and when we live it. It's an opportunity that we have as an urban church and a church that continually brings new people into our doors to seek and to know them as each one of us are here as children of God seeking to grow together in Christ. Jesus talks a lot about this as he goes to the edges of the society, as he interacts with a variety of people that were not part of the religious establishment. Peter is challenged in Acts to look beyond his comfort zone in dreams and visions that transformed his witness and his work. The parable of the prodigal son reminds us that God is ever seeking to call us and all God's people back to a place of welcome, to remember, to have hope, to experience that promise, and to go forth to share it. In our playgroup study this year on the Beatitudes earlier in the year, we learned that the blesseds of the Beatitudes would be better translated most to be honored. And this is exactly what James is talking about here. Most to be honored by us and honored by God. As we look around to the person around us that is new, that might be different, that might open to us new ways of understanding God's grace and God's love. My friends, this isn't about being nice and polite to one another in church. James is very strong about that. He says that we dishonor the poor by treating them differently, by playing favorites, he says in verse 6. So I challenge you, like I challenge the children in the message this morning, to say hello to someone you don't know this morning, to maybe not go to your own corner in the coffee hour. You guys are pretty good at that, about not going to your own corner, I mean. I see it every week in this place, and that's why we see what we see in this place. James says it's not about a lack of money or fine clothes, but it can also, but the poor can be rich in faith. The poor can be anyone who knows that they need God in their life. Matthew translates that beatitude as the poor in spirit, but Luke translates it as just the poor, and to them shall be the kingdom of God. We can too easily miss what we can be taught about how one depends upon God for everything in life when all else is stripped away, unless we're willing to learn from those who have less. less health, less security, less money, less faith, differences from us. In his commentary on this passage, John Calvin writes, Although God pours forth his grace on the rich in common with the poor, yet his will is to prefer these to those, that the mighty might learn not to flatter themselves, and that the ignoble and obscure might ascribe in what they are to the mercy of God, and that both might be trained up to meekness and humility. We are the ones who lose when we spend our time only with those who look just like us. We risk learning the things, the ways in which God shows forth favor and blessing in ways that we can scarcely imagine. Let us dare to live into a place of radical hospitality, to step out in faith in new ways in this fall season, and to receive the gift and blessing that expands our vision and teaches us the depth of the way in which God loves all God's people, and into a vision which teaches us to live and to love truly as Jesus loved, to follow that greatest of commandments, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith from 1 John 4:7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was real among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. As a token of our love, of the love of God and our love for him, let us bring our offerings to his mission.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his Son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Hoary time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song.
Dear Lord, we dedicate these gifts to you and your love for us so that your mission might be fulfilled in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Following the amen, please do stay to remain for the postlude with Milton and Monica. Now to the God who is abundantly able to do more than we can ever ask or require, to the only wise God, be glory in Christ and in Christ's church to the ends of the earth, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.